see you this morning, excited for the Word as we begin this series on Follow the Star. And remember that Advent, the Christmas season, is remembering that Jesus comes when we need Him the most, that there's always hope. And this morning, we want to focus, not only is there hope in the valleys of life, but there's actually joy. There's actually joy there. And so we want to look today at Matthew chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles or your phone with you, you want to look it up. We're going to read it in a moment as we begin this story. We're going to take the next 4 weeks and go over the story here in Matthew 2 and the story of the wise men and the star and what it means for us today. It's not a surprise, and most of us are familiar with the research and the report that the holidays is actually one of the most difficult seasons for people. It can be a time where Christmas is supposed to be about joy, and Christmas is supposed to be a friend of joy in our lives, but it can feel like an enemy of joy because it can magnify the things that are going wrong in our lives. We get around all these Christmas stories, and it's all about happily ever afters, and the snow falls just at the right time, and the people who we knew all along really did like each other, finally say to each other they love each other in every Hallmark movie, right? And it's like it all works out fine. And Christmas can be a time when we're like, my life is messy and hard right now. And I keep looking at all these images that say it's all peace and joy and it's all perfect. And that's not me. So Christmas can actually be a time where we feel further from joy. And so we want to look at it. And the tragedy of that is Christmas and the story of Christ coming into this world is all about joy in the hardest parts of life. The very truth of Christmas is that there is joy in the valley. And so we want to begin the Advent season by recognizing that some of us are in the valley. We're not on the mountaintop. We're in the hard place. We're not in the easy place. And what can Advent mean to us and for those around us who we care about? And so we're going to look at this together, Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to invite you to stand as we read God's word this morning and always reverence God's word in our hearts. I'm going to read it aloud and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you this morning. Here is the Christmas story from Matthew, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, "For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, even going through the valleys, you have a joy to bring us to. I pray your wisdom and your Holy Spirit and your word would help us find joy that is for us, that Jesus died to give us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Next week, we're probably going to talk about who these wise men are and the miracle of people who were so far away from God were the first ones to know who he was. That's our hope in inviting other people during the Christmas season. But this week, we want to focus on where the wise men came from and where how they walked, how they journeyed to Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at that. And there's some stories. There's some truth about the valleys we are in. There's hope that we can have as we look at the story. Here's the first point that I think is important from knowing about the wise men and the journey. And it's this. Going through the valleys is part of finding joy. You're not in an unusual place if you're in a valley today. And you're not as far away from joy as you think. Valleys are part of finding joy. It's just part of getting to the joy that God has for you. A matter of fact, if you look at the story of the wise men and the common theory, that's probably right that they're from Babylon. If you just map quest the journey that they had to get to, man, they had a long way to go. They had a long way to go to find that joy, to find that final gift that God had for them in Jesus. And if they were walking, it was going to take them 235 hours, which is roughly about 1 month if you just walk 8 hours a day. And that's not stopping for supplies or, you know, got to change the hoof on one of the camels because it breaks down. I don't know. You know, it's complicated getting there. But it was a long, long, long walk, a ride. And, you know, and it wasn't just all nice and flat. There were a lot of valleys that they literally had to get through to get to Jesus. Now, I'm just going to give you a quick thought. But they most likely, they were following the river, the Fertile Crescent, and then came down what was known as the King's Highway, which was to the east of the Jordan, and Jerusalem's over here. And they had to, most likely, they stopped here at Heshbon and I guess made a right at that point. And they crossed the Jordan River Valley and then up to Gilgal, going to Jericho. And that's going to be important. We'll see later. And then they went through this really dangerous valley all the way up to Jerusalem. The wise men who finished with joy literally went through some of the worst valleys there were to get to that joy. They literally went through the valley to get through Jesus. That's part of the Christmas story. And sometimes we think about celebrating and we think about joy, and we think it's only possible if it's at the mountaintop. And we miss that God can bring us joy and that Christmas can be a powerful time of real hope and real joy for us as long as Jesus is with us. See, the Bible is full of moments where God knows that we're in a valley. I want you to read out loud with me this verse from Psalm 30. Would you read it with me? O Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Someone was in the valley and didn't feel like they could ever get to a place of joy, and yet it was coming. Read this one with me. When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. There is a God who, even when we're in those places that we feel like it's just dark and difficult, there is a God who knows what we are walking through. And he is with us in the valley. He is there with us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. God's with me there. And he is walking me to a greater joy than I've ever known before. You got to walk through valleys to get through joy. Even the wise men did. And here's the second point. When you're in the valley, it sure does matter who's on the mountaintop. I want you to hear this. See, when they're journeying in the valley, it's very dangerous in those days to journey in the valley because you're in a vulnerable position. Anybody in the military knows that the high ground is the place of advantage. And those up top could come down and attack those in the valley. They were vulnerable in the valley. When we were in Israel, this is actually the picture behind Saranai. This is the picture of the road that goes from Jericho over here. Here's the valley. You see these kind of tree dots all over. I tried to trace it out for you. Here is actually the road from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And a lot of Bible scholars believe this is actually what David was talking about when he said the valley of the shadow of death. Actually, this is the road that Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan and says a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. Why did he fall among thieves? Why was it so dangerous? Because in the valley, bandits could come from any different place up top and come down, and you were vulnerable to their attack. This was a dangerous valley, and the wise men most likely literally went through this valley all the way up to Jerusalem to eventually Bethlehem. They walked through a valley to get to the joy of Jesus. And while I was in Israel, every time we went to a city of the Israelites, it almost always was up on the top of a mountain. And the teacher, as they were talking us through how to understand what we were seeing, said this next phrase. If I didn't hear it once, I heard it 1,000 times in 10 days in Israel. And here was this saying: whoever rules the mountains rules the valleys. Said it again and again and again. It was always every time the Israelites wanted to secure land and they wanted to take control and not be defeated by them, they always built a stronghold on top of a mountain. They had to take a mountain, overthrow whoever was on it, and from there they could rule the valley. Because the people in the valley were vulnerable, but the people on the mountaintop, they had the advantage. That's, again, any military personnel knows the truth of this. And I realized the more I heard this saying, whoever rules the mountains rules the valleys. Whoever has power over the mountaintop has power over the valley. The more I realized this was not just about military advantage. This was life. This was life. Whatever is your mountaintop, wherever you find joy, wherever you find comfort, whatever gives you a break from what's hard and you're going through, whatever is on the mountaintop of your life, it's what controls your valley. Whatever you choose for joy in this life, whatever brings you pleasure, whatever's the comfort you run to, that's what you depend on when you're facing a valley. Let me say it another way. Whatever you go to on Friday night is the only source of what's going to get you through Monday morning. Whatever you trust in to say, oh, I want to feel better, that's all you got left when you face the stress and the difficulties of life. Let me say it a few different ways. The mountaintops of our lives have power over the valleys. Let me say it another way. Whatever you depend on for joy is the power you have to get through the pain. All right? If I kind of look for empty things to make me feel better in life, then I've only got empty things when I got to go through the hard things of life. It's the mountaintops that rule over the valleys of my life. And if I don't choose the right thing to put on the highest part of my life, if I don't choose the right thing to trust in for joy, if it's not stronger than the deepest valley, I'm in trouble. The wise men, they went through a valley to get to the greatest joy. They were after one joy, and what was it? To find the one real king. That was their joy. That's what they went through the valley for. That's what they trusted in when they were in the valley, was there is a greater joy for me to know. That's wisdom, to know that what's on my mountaintop is really important for me to handle the valleys of life. And the problem is, if the power of your joy is less than the power of your pain, you're never getting out of the valley. Because it's what's on the mountaintop that can rescue you from where you are in the valleys of life. And so I've got a question for you this morning. I'm going to ask you a few this morning as we begin this Advent season. And here's the first one. What brings you joy? What do you go to feel better in life? Is it powerful enough to sustain you in hard times? That joy is what you've got to count on. Let me say it this way to you. This is the one I think is worth taking a picture of. The greatest problem in your life isn't the power of the valley. It's the weakness of your mountaintops. Because we all go through valleys. We're all going through valleys. That's part of this life, right? Valleys are just part of the journey to joy. And we're not getting away from them. And the issue is not, Jesus, let me know you so I never go through a valley. That's not how life works. The real goal is, Jesus, be on my mountaintop. Be what my joy is, so that no matter what valley I go through, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, because you're greater. And you, God, you, Jesus, you rule over my valley. You're faithful, even in the valley. And so just think about this. If I go to, let's pick a few common things we can all move to in life. If when I'm troubled and I difficulty and I go to addictions, I go to substances that form addiction in me, and that's my joy in life, that's what gets me out of how I'm feeling bad, if that's on my mountaintop, what am I going to do in my valley? Am I just going to go to more of that, which is how addiction works? Well, I'll just get more to get me out, and then it creates a bigger valley in life. I heard one counselor say that whatever age a person starts an addiction, they are emotionally that age until they get out of the addiction and start the maturation process. So in other words, if I became addicted to alcohol when I was 17 years old, and now I'm at 48, and let's say I meet Jesus and I get delivered, I'm still emotionally 17. Because for all these years, when I had to face a valley and face a pressure, instead of learning how to deal with it, I went to alcohol. So I never learned how to deal with pressure, stress, disappointment, offense in my life. And so what happened was, when I chose that as my mountaintop, and I always ran to that every time I was feeling bad, I've never learned to conquer and get through that valley. I never made it all the way through. And now what can happen is I come to Jesus and I start to know him and praise the Lord I'm delivered, but now I need to mature because emotionally I still act the same way when I get to stress and disappointment and anxiety in my life. And that's why we love Jesus delivering us from sin, but we still have to follow him in discipleship, because just because we're delivered doesn't mean we've emotionally grown up. Does that make sense? Very, very important. And some of us, whatever the addiction is, we've got to recognize, man, Jesus has changed my life, but I still may be really bad in relationship because I've never learned to handle the relationship the right way when stress came to it. So really important. Let's take another one. Obviously, in our society, it's really common for people to have sex outside of marriage. But here's one of the struggles, and here's one of the problems with that. Counselors will tell you that couples that engage in premarital sex, their relational, emotional IQ hasn't developed, because anytime they got a friction in their relationship, anytime they've struggled with their differences, they've just used sex to cover up and to avoid learning how to talk with each other and figuring out the differences in their lives. And so emotionally, their relationship is really young, and they will typically have more problems because they've never learned how to handle the difficulties that every relationship brings. Some of us, on a less intense level, maybe we just run to TV. Yeah, I'm just going to run to TV and escape. And that's great that you escaped, but at some point, you got to go back to work. When you go back to work, you still got nothing for what you're feeling, right? And so this whole idea of it's not the valleys that are the real issue in our lives, because we all go through them. It's actually what we put on the mountaintop. I don't know if I can do this. I'm praying this is okay. But I just saw Jenny and Eric Moffitt walked through a valley with their son who was in the hospital, and that valley was pretty intense. But is he in children's church right now? Yeah. I mean, but 10-year-old Aiden today, I mean, amazing what the Lord has done to heal him. I mean, amazing. They walked through a hard valley in the hospital. But Jesus on the mountaintop was greater, right? I mean, it was so much greater. And that valley, that was a deep one. That was a hard one. But it wasn't stronger than who was on the mountaintop. The guy, Jesus on the mountaintop was stronger than everything you had to walk through in the valley. I just praise the Lord for what God has done. I mean, it's amazing. And in our lives, we're talking about the wise men who went through a valley to get to Jesus. Wisdom for us is learning to put Jesus on the mountaintop. Don't let anybody else be on that place, because nobody else can take care of you. Nobody else can rule over the valley for you. Don't put anybody else but Jesus on the top of that mountain. Learn to not just run to the TV, to the substance, to that relationships that's been broken so often, but I just run back to that again because I don't know anything else. Learn to say, I'm going to learn to adore Jesus, to put him in that place, because in that place, you really can get through the valley. Amen? So important. To find eternal joy, don't escape from the pain, search for the Savior. Come on, find Jesus. Don't just get out of the valley, get to him, because he has the answer that your heart is longing for. And that's what the wise men did, right? There was this star that guided them, and they were filled with joy. Why? Because they finally saw him. They finally got to that place where Jesus was theirs. And that's what the Advent season is about, journeying to that place to find him again. And if you're in a valley today, you're perfectly in line to get to the joy of Christmas, because it's through that valley that you can find him. The angel told us that Jesus has good news of great joy that's for everybody, even if they're in the valley. It's joy for them too. So, valleys are the way to joy. It's really important who's on top of the mountain when you're walking through the valley. And here's the one that I think is part of something we're going to repeat over the next few weeks. When you're in the valley, stars really matter. It's just good to have something that's saying, keep going this way. Now, the scripture tells us in Philippians, let me jump there, Philippians 2, that people can shine like stars for God. They can just be people that remind us that no matter what you're walking through, there is a king that's waiting for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's a king that you can get to. You can know him. And once you meet him, nothing else has to define you ever again. Don't you love at the end of the first part of the wise men's story that they don't go back the same way they came? Because at first they ran into this king named Herod, and he was the one telling them what to do, and he was the one they searched for answers from. But when they met the real king, Jesus, they didn't have to go back to that old king anymore. Mm-mm. They didn't have to live life the way they lived it. They didn't have to go about getting back home and dealing with home the way they started. Once you meet Jesus, it changes. And all of us, God sends a star when we need it the most, right? Someone who just like reminds us, man, the king exists, you can know him, and once you meet him, life's never going to be the same again. And I think that when we're in the valley, we tend to only look for people to help us, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to encourage you to flip that on its ear. And this Advent, I want you to look for people who have blessed you. Even in the middle of the valley, take some time to find that person who's been like that star shining in the night saying, I can show you the way, something of who they were, how they lived life, helped you remember that Jesus was where the answer was. And my encouragement this Christmas, starting today, is make sure you say thank you to him. Even if you're in a valley that you can't wait to get out of. So here's my other question. Not just what brings you joy, but who's been your star? Who's been that person that helped you meet Jesus? Or maybe helped you meet them in a deeper way? And what I want to encourage you to do today, I want to encourage you to reach out to them and say thank you. Say thanks for helping me know Jesus. Literally, you're going to, when we finish up service today, if you go out these back doors, there's going to be hot chocolate, praise the Lord, okay? And there's also going to be thank you notes with our little Christmas theme on it, Follow the Star. And we want to encourage you to take a few of them. When's the last time you ever got a handwritten note, right? Take a moment today, write somebody and say, hey, our pastor was talking about being thankful for people who helped us find Jesus the first time, and I remembered you, and I just want to say thank you, and I'm praying for you today. And maybe when they get this, maybe they're in a valley. I want to encourage you to do that. It's so healthy for you to do, because those people who have been that star to us are a blessing. And if we want to begin to get out of the valley this Christmas, if we want to make sure the valley doesn't define us, then it starts with giving thanks. It'll bust the valley wide open. So here's our last point. When you're in the valley, Jesus absolutely matters the most. I mean, it's nice to have a star, but they're pointing to somebody else. They're not the hero. Nobody's the hero. No one's the savior but him. All right? And what we want to do this Christmas is we want to fix our eyes on him. I was thinking about this last point. I was thinking about what the scripture says about what Jesus, how he was born. Isn't it interesting that Jesus wasn't born up on Jerusalem? He wasn't born in a palace. Nobody from his home country or his hometown, except for the lowliest of shepherds, even acknowledged that he was born. Jesus started in a valley, and that was on purpose because that's what God cares about. God cares about the valley. He cares that you're there. And Jesus was born in the valley because that's where he wanted to take care of you. Jesus lived in that valley. I mean, he just lived there all of his life. The Bible says he was just familiar with pain and suffering all of his existence. And where did he finish? It wasn't physically in a low place, but there's no lower place in the existence of life than the cross. He finished in a valley. Matter of fact, he didn't just finish there, but the scripture says he descended to hell, taking the keys of death and Hades from Satan that ruled over us, and he rose again. Nobody's been in a deeper valley than Jesus. And that's why he matters the most. Because when you put him on the mountaintop, there's not a valley he hasn't had victory over. There's not an addiction. There's not a mistake. There's not a failure. There's not a depression. There's not an illness. There's nothing that is greater than him. He lived and died in the valley so that you could make it through the valley and get to the mountaintop. The scripture tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, it was for joy he went into the lowest valley ever. And then one day, because no death, sin, nothing could defeat him, he was the author of life, he went to the highest mountaintop of all for us. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to travel through valleys. But take heart, because I've overcome every one of them. Every one of them. That's the news of Christmas. That's the beauty of a Savior that was come and born in suffering, with no riches, in poverty. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the highest mountaintop of all except through me. That's what he did for you and I. And so we're going to begin the Advent season with communion. We're going to begin it. We're going to be in the way, and we're just going to start and say thank you. And I want you to hear this morning. This is what faith feels like. Faith is when you're still in the valley and you're saying thank you anyway. Faith is when the answer hasn't come and it's still painful and you're saying, Jesus, I trust you. You're my mountaintop. Rule my mountain. Rule my valley. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know who's on the mountaintop ruling over me. And we want to, in communion, give thanks, because communion is the place where Jesus began the darkest valley that any person who's ever existed knew. He started at the day of the Last Supper, and he had his disciples around him, and he told them, he said, I'm going to be sorry. He told them all that he was about to do, the valley he was about to go through, and he said, I want you to remember me. He was going through it. The disciples were about to run away from it. And he said, when you get done running, I want you to hear this. When you get done running and you see that I'm the risen one, do this in remembrance of me. Remember who I am. Remember what I gave for you. Fix your eyes on me and you'll get through the valley. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I kept hearing this and thinking about the power of who Jesus is and the beauty of what Advent can be for every one of us in this room. You are not disqualified if you're in a valley today. You're actually in the perfect spot. God's got joy for you that this world, no gift can give you. He can give you today. But I kept hearing, I just kept hearing the song Amazing Grace in my head. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. God's promised good to me. God's gotten me this far. He's going to get me all the way home. And so I'm going to ask right now if our ushers would come and start to distribute communion. And as we do that, as you just take the elements, I've asked Pastor Brian and Pastor Nidra if they would just lead us in singing Amazing Grace. And would you take this time, and even in the valley, would you remember that God is with you? And would, with everything in your heart, would you decide, Jesus, be the highest thing in my life, and rule over the valleys until I come to you. Let's just worship him in these next few moments.